Amen. Okay, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. We've been looking at this song that the Lord had Moses write. He wanted Moses to write a song. It was 43 verses long. Not the full stanzas like ours, but 43 verses in the Bible, that length. It was a long song, nonetheless. And Deuteronomy 32. And shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can set aside this day and come and worship you. We thank you for these hymns that lift our hearts to you. And now I pray as we come to your precious word that, Lord, that you would indeed have your way in each of our hearts. You know the need of each heart today. You know those this morning that are struggling with sorrow, those that are struggling with so much pain, those that are struggling with other infirmities and needs. And Lord, we know that you can meet each of those needs, and we look to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Behold, I will what? Publish. Behold, I will publish the what? Name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is what? Perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. So in the song, God reminds his people that we are very imperfect. We are very corrupt, but God is perfect. I was witnessing, I don't know how many weeks ago it was, and a young man, I mentioned to him how Jesus Christ is the perfect Son of God. He was born of a miraculous virgin birth, so he was born without a sin nature like we have. When we are born, we have a nature that is like a magnet to steel, only our sin nature is attracted to sin just like a magnet is to steel. And so the Bible tells us the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's why the Lord warns us to stay away from evil and the wrong types of people. So as we saw, the meaning of the word publish here in verse 3 is to discover or make known to mankind or to people in general what before was private or unknown. So in here in verse 3 it says, because I will publish the name of the Lord. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have to publish that because a lot of people don't know that anymore. Why, just turn on the radio to the news and they don't know that. There's a whole host of people that think that all religions are headed to the same place. Well, all those religions don't preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. And so there's a lot of people that don't have that knowledge, and it needs to be published. We got a letter back this week. Well, we had several letters were sent in, but here's one I thought I'd read to you. This is dated March 3rd. It says, "Dear Sir or Madam, I live in a senior community, and this Liberty Bible course on baptism, book 2, was lying on a table, so I picked it up and studied it and finished it, and I want more." And she writes, smile, "Would you help me? Your address was the only one on it. Thank you so much." And her name is Kate. So that's what we're talking about, is trying to publish the Word of God. And someone in this, like this afternoon, Lord willing, will be at Green Acres and Extended Care. Someone in a place like that just placed the baptism Bible course on a table, like you would a tract at the doctor's office or someplace. And this other lady picked it up and got interested in it and did the whole thing, and now she wants more. And that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to get out his word, and it's exciting. We've had people write back and say, I found this tract on the sidewalk, and I picked it up and read it. And so it's exciting. Years ago, I read about from a different tract company. This was many years ago. I read about a person that was so depressed, he was going to hang himself, and he was going to do it at work. And he worked at a laundry facility. And he got up on a laundry cart, maybe like you'd see at the hospital, these big laundry carts. He stood on one of those and was tying something around his neck. And then he was going to jump off the laundry cart. But as he was looking down, he saw something laying in the bottom of the laundry cart. So he took the rope or whatever he had around his neck off and reached down in there and picked it up. And somebody left a gospel tract down there. He read it and got saved. And praise the Lord, decided not to hang himself. And so God can just do some wonderful and miraculous things when we publish his word. Now, there are many things that we don't know, many things that we don't know in life. I'm going to give you a test this morning on earthquakes to see how much you know. How many of you think that in Michigan we are safe from earthquakes? No one? Wow, you are a very intelligent group. Okay, how many of you in your lifetimes have been within 100 miles of an earthquake? Okay, all right, okay. How many of you were born on this? These trick questions are going to get you, you know. How many of you were born on or before September 2nd, 1994? Born on or before September 2nd, 94. Okay, all right. How many of you were living in this general area of West Michigan on September 2nd, 1994? Okay, most of you, okay. Well, if you were born on or before September 2nd, 1994, you have been within 100 miles of an earthquake, if you were living in Michigan. Because there was one that took place on September 2nd, 1994, just north of the Capital City Airport in Lansing, just north of there, 4:30, I think it was 4:23 in the afternoon. Now, it wasn't a big one. It was a 3.5 magnitude, but that was the epicenter right there, just north of the airport there in Lansing. I do not remember feeling an earthquake on that day. So I did not remember when it happened. But that was the last earthquake that was actually centered in Michigan. It was actually in Michigan. Now, just a week and a half ago, there was one in Ohio, and some people in Michigan felt that one. But the last one in Michigan was actually on that date, September 2nd, 1994. So you know what? There are many things that we don't know, many things. And so we don't know until someone publishes those facts. I did not feel it that day. Does anyone remember that earthquake that day, September 2nd? Okay, no one here does. So it wasn't a real big one. But the fact is there are so many things that we don't know until someone publishes those facts to us. And that is exactly us as Christians. That's what God wants us to do, is publish his word. He wants us to share his word with other people because there are many things that people do not know. I thought some of you would say we're safe in Michigan from earthquakes. But not one raised your hand. You are a smart group. Because, you know, I have not lived in Michigan all my life, but much of my life. And I've never felt one, although some have felt these different quakes, not only in our state, but in the nearby states as well. So let's go to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. I would say maybe half of you, roughly, did not know that you've ever been within 100 miles of an earthquake. I'm just guessing maybe half of you never thought that. Before this week, when I was studying for this message, I would have told you I've never been within 100 miles, so I would not have raised my hand, but I was and did not realize it. Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, buildings in this area really are not built with earthquakes in mind. Buildings in Haiti, at least in the cities down near the coast, are built with hurricanes in mind, but not with earthquakes in mind. We saw that with the earthquake in Haiti. A lot of those buildings and houses built down near the coast are built out of cement block and have cement roofs, which are great for hurricanes, but not so great for earthquakes. Cement blocks and cinder blocks crack easily, and once you get those teetering and you have solid cement over your head, you're not in a good situation, and many people were not. So we don't know in Michigan. We don't know. A hard one could hit Michigan. The Bible prophesied that earthquakes would increase. Notice in Mark 13, the Bible told us ahead of time that there were going to be earthquakes in diverse places. That doesn't mean under the sea, even though many earthquakes do happen down in the oceans. But it's talking about various. Divers is an old English word for various, a variety. Mark 13, verse 5. And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be what? Earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." So, as we saw last week, eventually the whole world is going to be rocked, including Michigan, with a hard earthquake. We saw it last week in Haggai 2, verses 6 and 7. The Lord said, "It is yet a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations." And we looked at those verses last week. So someday, every mountain we saw last week. In fact, let's look at Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. One day, God is going to shake this whole earth. Every mountain is going to be moved. Every island is going to be affected. Revelation 6 and verse 12. Revelation 6, 12. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great," what? "Earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every," what? "Mountain and," what? "Island were moved out of their places." Can you imagine it? God's going to shake this earth so much, he's going to move the mountains and every island. They're going to be moved. And then people, it goes on to say, in verse 15, "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to," what? "The mountains and rocks," what? "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" As we saw last week, most time when earthquakes happen, people move out of their houses. We supported missionaries in Taiwan years ago, and they had to come home for physical reasons, but the Stevens family. And they were in Taiwan when a bad earthquake hit. And it was in the middle of the night. And Brother Stephen said the house started shaking and it woke them up. And he said when it was over, his kids were terrified. There was no power on in the house. Bookcases had fallen over and doorways were blocked. And it was really a terrifying moment for them. Well, in this situation right here, people are going to wish the mountains would fall on them rather than face God. Why? Because they're not ready. Their sins are not forgiven. They had never repented of their sins and turned to Jesus Christ. And they would rather have a mountain fall on them than face God's. Amazing. Amazing. And so we need to publish the gospel today while these people have time. While there's time to be saved, we need to make known what today they do not know. I had a question for you here. Let's see. I won't get it to stay. Okay. I have some things here I want to ask you. Probably the number one thing that people are hoping to get to heaven is through good works. And we're going to look at a verse here in a minute that talks about that's a stumbling stone to people. But I wanted to ask you a question first. Now, if these were rocks, which one do you think you'd be more apt to stumble over? If this was lying on the floor down there when you left, do you think you'd be more apt to stumble over this or this? And you probably can't hardly see this or this. This is a marble. This is a black marble. Well, there is the world's biggest stumbling stone. But I think you'd probably agree, you'd probably see this. Now, sure, if you were backing up, if you were talking to someone and you were backing up, you could stumble over this. But it's so bright and it's so big, you probably would see it and walk around it. This is also bright, but it's smaller. It's possible, if this was laying down there in the aisle when you left, it's possible you could be looking at someone and talking to them, and you could stumble over this. You'd be much more apt to stumble over this golf ball than this kickball. But there is very high likelihood, if I put this down in the aisle, someone would stumble over this. This black little marble would be hard to see. It'd be real easy to miss, and you could step on it and fall. And so I want you to think about, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Now it's true, Satan can put a big rock in front of some people and get them to fall. I mean, to some people, Satan can say, oh, the Bible is just a book of fairy tales and fables. You don't have to believe that. Some will fall for that. Some will stumble over that big one. But a lot of people say, I don't know, there's something sacred about that book. Even a lot of people who don't read it still kind of are a little fearful that the Bible is a special book. Maybe their grandmother gave them a big family Bible. Many times when we're out calling people, they answered, we say, do you have a Bible? You could do this Bible course. And many, many times they said, yeah, I've got a big old Bible that grandma gave me or someone. So Satan can't get everyone to fall. Some will fall for that. But, so Satan uses a little smaller stumbling stone. And he'll say to that group, I never knew all those little dips and golf balls was good for anything, but I guess they're good for something. To other people, Satan will use this. And he'll say, you know what? That is God's word. But you know what? There are some things in there that shouldn't be there. There are some things in there that some copyists made errors through the years. And you know what? Don't mean to cast doubt on it, but you can't trust everything that's written in there. And so it's kind of old-fashioned. And you know what? There's been some people that have rewritten it and made it more understandable. You ought to get one of those translations. And that was exactly the case I faced at the sheriff's camp two or three weeks ago. And I had to show them in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, how that some of those newer translations take out the fact that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one, the Trinity. And you know what? There was one guy that was standing firm. He said, well, I like this translation because it's easier to understand. And he said, you know, the King James is harder for me to understand. But you know what? When I showed him what those translators had done to that new translation, he was ready just to throw it. Now, he didn't throw that translation. But, I mean, at first, that's what he was going to do. He's just going to throw it. He says, I don't want to read this anymore. And so, but Satan gets people with that little smaller stone. And then, of course, there's the tiny one. And as I mentioned, the biggest thing that people stumble over to get into heaven is good works. We're actually, good works is not this big ball or even this golf ball, but it seems like it's this, because you know what? There are many verses that tell us that we should do good works. But people stumble over that thinking that's going to get them into heaven. So let's look at some of those verses right now that deal with that. In Matthew 19, good works is the biggest, littlest stumbling stone. Because it's not wrong to do good works. And it gets a person, well, we're going to look at it tonight. We're going to look at so many things, how people say, yes, you've got to accept Jesus, but you've got to do this or that, or you're not saved. It's that biggest, littlest stumbling stone that many, many stumble over. In Matthew 19, verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, what? Good, Master. What's the next word? Good. So, good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? You see, this man was stumbling over that little, it's the biggest stumbling stone, but what throws us off is it so small. He says, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me what? Good. There is what? None good but what? One, and that is who? God. So let's look at that again, verse 17. And he said unto me, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? That's why I'm saying good works is the biggest, littlest stumbling stone. Because it was not that the young man was just trusting in himself, he thought. He thought he was trusting in God, keeping all of God's rules. Verse 21, so Jesus gives him a test. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be, what? Perfect. Go and sell that thou hast, and give to who? The poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away, what? Sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Was Jesus trying to teach here that it's possible for us to actually keep the law? To the point where we could go to heaven apart from Jesus Christ? No. He was showing this young man, it's commendable that you have tried to be so good throughout your life. But young man, you really haven't kept all these laws that you think. The young man said in verse 20, all these things have I kept from my youth up. And remember, he said to him in verse 19, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So Jesus said, young man, you're comparing yourself with other people. Here's a test, young man. If you really love your neighbor as yourself, sell everything you have and give to the poor. Find a poor neighbor and trade places with him. Find a neighbor whose windows are cracked or broken out, and there's just blankets over the windows, and the neighbor is freezing, and the neighbor hardly has any food. Find the poorest neighbor you can. Go down to him with a deed to your property, and say, here, I want to sign this over to you if you'll sign your property over to me. Here's my bank account. I want to transfer all of my money to your account. That's what Jesus put to the young man. And what did he do? Verse 22, he walked away. It says, for he had great possessions. You see, if we really loved our neighbor as ourselves, we'd be willing to trade places with our neighbor. We'd say, well, I've lived 50-some years, and the Lord has taken care of me, and I see you're in a hard strait. You take what I have, and I'll be in your place, and you take my place. I've lived enough years. God's been good to me. You take my place now. You know what? There is not a one of us, not a one of us, that really love our neighbors as ourselves. In that fullness, and that's what we're talking about, is perfection. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, when the Bible says we've come short of the glory of God, His glory is perfection. It's not just better, but it's perfection. What's the difference between our cars and the cars down here on all the car lots? Well, you may say a lot of miles. Well, that might be true. You may say a few dents. Well, that might be true. But you know what is one of the major differences, even if you have a really nice car? Down there, they send those into the shop, and they shine up. You know, if it has any chrome, they shine it up. I mean, they clean everything. When I was in high school one time, I thought I was getting my car clean. But one of my friends said, he says, Mike, why don't you ever wipe off your windows after you wash your car? Why? He said, it's all covered with water spots. I never paid any attention to the windows, but it was true. I'd wash my car. I might wipe off all the paint, but I'd never wipe off the windows. But he noticed that. And if we were to park our cars down beside some of these in the lot, the difference is those things are spotless. They're shiny. And when in comparison with God, we see our sinfulness. Look in Matthew 5:48. It says, be ye therefore what? Perfect. Even as your Father which is in heaven is what? Perfect. Notice with me then in Romans 3. There's not a one of us that's perfect. Not a one. Then is it hopeless? No, it's not hopeless. That is why I said it's so important that Jesus came. He was born of a miraculous virgin birth. He was born without his sin nature. He lived a perfect life. In John 18:38, Pilate, the judge, said, I find in him no fault at all. So Jesus lived a perfect life. He died bearing our sin in his own body on that cross. And that's why it's so important, because it does take perfection to enter heaven. None of us are perfect. And that's why it took a perfect sacrifice. And that's Jesus. Given his blood given for us. Notice in Romans 3, verse 23. Romans 3:23. For all have what? Sin. And come what? Short of the glory of God. We've come short of his glory. When I was younger, I liked to play basketball, but I always wished I was taller. You know, the Bible talks about we can't add one cubit to our stature. Well, a cubit is 18 inches. I would have loved to add 18 inches of length to my height back in those days. Now, right now, I'm not sure I'd want to have to buy clothes if I was 18 inches taller than I am, but back then it would have been, I thought, would have been nice. So we've come short of God's glory. But he loves, notice in chapter 5, Romans 5, verse 8. Let's back up just a little bit. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet what? Without strength, in due time Christ died for who? The ungodly. That is, That's, I won't bring the little ones out. That is the big stumbling block. We think that we're not all that bad. And that's where we've got to come to the place of repentance, where we realize our sin is big. Our sin is big in the sight of God, because He is perfect. So it goes on to say, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth His love toward us, in that while we were," what? "Yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by," what? "His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Leviticus 17:11 says, "It's the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." The life of the flesh is in the blood, it tells us in Leviticus 17:11. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And so the Lord gave His blood on that cross for our sins, because the wages of sin was death. We're going to look at more verses tonight, but let's look at just a few more here. In Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3. Lord willing, tonight we're going to get into more detail. What are those marble-sized things that people trip over? They're much more apt to trip over the marble than the big kickball or even than the golf ball. What are those things? In Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, Titus 3 verse 4. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by" what? "Works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And then he goes on down talking about that. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Once again showing it's not by our works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the" what? "The gift of God, not of" what? "Works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So, yes, we should have good works, but it comes after salvation. We don't work to be saved. We serve the Lord because He has saved us by His precious blood. Have you ever tripped, stumbled, and fell in your life? Well, I suspect you have. If you can't remember a time when you were little, probably your parents could have given many times when you tumbled and fell. I went to Bible school for part of my training in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and there's a mountain that overlooks Chattanooga. Chattanooga is in a valley, and one of the mountains that overlooks Chattanooga is called Lookout Mountain. And on Lookout Mountain, right on the end of the mountain toward Chattanooga, there's a park up there, and there's rock kind of outcroppings there up in that park. It's a nice place for pictures. I mean, you can stand right on the edge of the mountain and get a really scenic shot. But I was told that one time there was some students from the Bible school up there, and they were taking pictures, and they got kind of goofing around and maybe being a little too, like, daredevils, getting too close to the edge. And one of them stumbled and fell and became paralyzed from falling down that side of the mountain, and was in a wheelchair. And so he stumbled. He fell. And we need to publish to the world that Jesus Christ and His pure, precious blood is the only way to get our sins forgiven. Because if they don't hear that, one day they're going to be like that student, only much worse, because they are going to stumble and tumble right down into hellfire. And so we want to publish. We want to make known what was unknown. About half of us here today did not know that we had been within 100 miles of an earthquake in our lives. But outside of these doors, there's much greater than half people do not really know that Jesus Christ and His precious, pure blood is the only way for them to get to heaven. And we need to make it known to them. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You loved us enough to send Your Son to bear our sin on that cross. And Lord, we are so unworthy of that sacrifice, but we thank You for Your great love. And Lord, I pray if there should be any here today that have never realized that before, many of us did not realize we'd been within 100 miles of an earthquake, but we had been. And many people don't realize just how close to death they are. None of us know. And Father, I pray that no one today would leave this building not having it settled, that Your precious pure blood has washed away their sins. And I pray You'd help us as Christians to be encouraged. Someone somewhere had ordered the material and had left that Bible course on that table, hoping that someone would pick it up, hoping that it wouldn't be thrown away by the janitor, but that someone would pick it up and read it, and You answered their prayer, someone did. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful, publishing out Your word, giving it out, making it known, that people might be saved and might be able to have a life of purpose. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.